God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Well, the God of the universe created the world. He didn't snap his fingers, nor did he wink his eye. The Lord spoke. He said, "Let there be light." Or in a translation I really admire, God said, "Light be." And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome to Disciples View on AFR. Your monthly support of AFR, by the way, allows us to talk about news with God at the very center of that. So appreciate your support. We have an audience of one, God Almighty, a family of many, that's you, and then the stewards of this network. We're going to be joined by Riley Wildman. I've not met Riley before. Talk about the AFA Foundation and the important work you can do to help make sure that this continues even after you go to your reward with the Father in heaven. And after you go to Jesus, you can make that happen. We'll talk with her about what that does. I also need to just understand, what's it like to be a Wildman? Growing up in that family. I'm the only person in my family in media. So I am absolutely, in some ways, that embarrassing uncle who does podcasting and radio for a living. And in other ways, unique. But I come from a family otherwise of firefighters and cops and teachers for the most part. So we all know how to shoot. We've got to fix you up if you get hurt. That's sort of our background. We'll talk to Riley about that. So what's the top story to God? We ask that sometimes. You know, the debate's coming up. I don't know that the Lord's spending a lot of time thinking about that. He already knows what happens. What is the top story to God? I will continue to say that until the Lord Jesus comes back, which, man, wouldn't that be cool if that was now? We're just going to wait for a second. Not yet. No one knows the day or the time, but man, I'm looking forward to that. Are you? I look forward to it more and more every day. I'm going to say that that's the top story to God. That the free gift of redemption is still yours simply by accepting the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior and then acting that way, allowing Him to change you and allowing the Holy Spirit to indwell within us, right? That's got to be the top story to God. But I believe that He being a jealous God, jealous of His reputation, and as well the reputation of Jesus Christ, He knows and told us there's going to be false teachers, that they're going to come in my name, and he warned us about that. The Lord Jesus warned us about it. Well, it's happening. It's a political game. It's silly, and yet it's potent. The people who run Joe Biden and the people around him are using two words, caring and fairness. Those are two things that people on the left and people who are moderates, the two things they care about politically, period. Is it caring? Is it fair? They don't care about law and order. They don't care about the, well, I shouldn't say they don't care. They're not motivated by law and order. They're not made motivated by the economy. They're not motivated by liberty and freedom. They're not motivated by safety. Those things don't matter to them. Two things matter, caring and fairness. So when they go out to mock Jesus, they think that they're mocking us. They're trying to mock the Lord Jesus. God will not be mocked. And they're trying to circulate now a meme in social media called Republican Jesus. A guy named who calls himself Brooklyn Dad Defiant, who, as I understand it, has been exposed to be a paid shill of the people who run Joe Biden, posted a video purporting to show the Republican Jesus. So we'll do this in three parts, and let's do the home game version of A Disciple's View. Let's you and I play together to see if we can find the discontinuities, the errors, the illogic in this. First part of the clip, the Republican Jesus, so-called, video mocks Jesus and his teachings in order to strawman and dunk on Republican political talking points.
"Truly I say unto you, whoever welcomes one of these little ones in my name might be letting in a murderer. Or a drug. Let's get her to a detention center. You know, so we can figure out what's going on. I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. And behold, now I'm all lazy and entitled. You shouldn't have done that. Do unto others as you suspect they might want to do unto you. What is a man profited if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? A lot. He has profited a lot. One soul for the whole world, that is an amazing deal. Why do you look at the speck of dust in your brother's eye, but ignore the plank in your own? Because of her emails. Yes.
Wow. I was just sitting here laughing about how funny that is. The Lord Jesus never went and said to the government, do these things. You don't think he could have taken a meeting? You don't think that he could have gone to the Pharisees and said, hey, you know what? We got to talk about some power sharing here. I've got a lot of followers. You don't think they reached out to him? Wouldn't they have liked that? And on the topic of the little ones, the Lord Jesus never said, ever, hey, let's set up a bunch of government programs for them. No, he said, you do it. You care for the little ones out of your own money, because it's not yours, it's mine. Share it joyfully, not because you've been forced to. And in terms of bringing in the sojourners, yes, and follow the laws. It is illegal to come into our country, you know, illegally. It's not fair. Nor is it caring to take the world's greatest refuge, which has been the United States, 5% of the world's population. We've taken in at least 20% of the world's displaced peoples. It's not fair or caring to take that lifeboat and sink it. Caring and fairness. That's what motivates people on who are moderate and on the left to back policy decisions. Is it caring or fair? That's part one of this mocking of the Lord Jesus being circulated by people like Brooklyn Dad, who, as I recall, is a paid shill for the people who run Joe Biden. The second portion of the video, and are you done laughing? Because I know it's a very funny video. I'm being sarcastic. It's not the least bit funny. It's poorly done. Here, the so-called Republican Jesus caricature continues to mock scripture and has a tantrum about saying Merry Christmas.
If a man strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him and shoot him. That is the law. If you want to be perfect, go. Sell all the possessions that you have and give the money to a solid mutual fund. By this, they will know that you are my disciples. That you say, Merry Christmas! Christ! Christmas! That's my name in there, and I put it in there because I wanted it in there so we could all celebrate Big Boy Jesus' birthday time! Okay? Okay.
Wow. Hold on while I continue my laughing fest. The Bible teaches us those who will not care for their families, will not care for their families, refuse to care for their families, are committing a grievous sin. So yes, we are wise stewards, or should be, of the money that the Lord enables us to earn. Part of that wisdom is that the fruits produce more fruits. And that way, yes, we can pass it on to our kids. And that way, yes, we can care for others. And that way, yes, we can give more to church. When they take scripture like this and mock it in this way, the challenge is there are people who've never read scripture. So they laugh and they laugh and they laugh because they've heard tiny little specks of it. Oh, that's right. Republicans, they don't really give to the poor. They just pour to the mutual funds. The average government employee earns 40% more. I shouldn't say earns. Many do. Some don't. They just take it home. They get paid 40% more than the people who pay taxes. Their benefits are 72% larger than the people who pay those taxes. How is that caring or fair? See, this is not money given by choice. We do it dutifully. I'm waiting for my full tax bill. We got an extension, and I kind of know what it's going to be, and it's going to hurt. I'll pay it because the Lord tells me to. That's the only reason I pay taxes. As corrupt as the government is, that's the only reason I pay taxes. It's because God says to, period. That's it. And it's not done joyfully. charity is always better than government giving. It's better for the recipient because the recipient knows someone gave this to me because they love me or they love people. And because the people who give it get the opportunity to be joyful givers. So in this mocking, they think they're mocking Jesus. Of course, they're mocking their understanding of scripture. And they aren't going to understand. God will not be mocked. They won't get the implications of that. Last bit here. In this mocking piece about the so-called Republican Jesus. Here, Republican Jesus is displayed as prideful, uncaring, and selfish when approached by the disciples for help.
Rabbi, surely you can heal me.
My child, of course I could. But who would pay for it?
What? I don't understand. I don't have any money.
Yes, it is a sad story, but it does not make me responsible.
It is super duper easy for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. The richer the better, really. Maybe get a solid gold house, just to be sure. Love your neighbor as yourself. Unless you are better than your neighbor, then tell them that they're weird and you do not want to bake them a cake. You have heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you, any man who looks upon a woman with lust in his heart should go ahead and do what he's gotta do.
Lord, your followers grow hungry and we have only this fish and bread.
Oh, sweet.
And then the so-called Republican Jesus eats it. It bears, of course, no resemblance at all to the Bible. And they would say, well, then neither do Republicans. Well, some Republicans don't bear any resemblance to the Bible. It's true. Everything that they're making the point of here is that government must do these things. That if you don't worship government, well, then you're not worshiping Jesus. No one can find an instance in the Bible where Jesus turned to the government for any form of help, ever. When he was about to be put upon the cross, Pontius Pilate said, wait, don't you know that I have the power of life or death over you? The Lord Jesus said, to paraphrase, no. You have no power over me but that which my Father grants. Like, you're confused. You don't know who I am. Maybe Pontius Pilate found out. I believe the people who are mocking the Lord Jesus will find out. Well, I don't believe it. I know it. Oh, they'll find out. Every knee will bend. Everyone will take the knee. Every tongue will confess. There's also this visual meme that's being circulated at the same time as this funny, funny video. I'm being sarcastic. It's not the least bit funny. The teachings of Republican Jesus. Feed only those that look like us and pass the drug test. No. In fact, the government cannot feed people. It can pay itself to do that. It doesn't feed people. It gets paid to do it. $10 to the government. $3 goes to pay off the debt. $3 goes to incur more debt. $3 goes to pay salaries and retirement. $1 goes to the cause. If it's charity and you have a food bank at your church, I'm not familiar with the church having a racial test to access the food. Never seen that happen. I'm sure it does. I've just never seen it. Another one from the teachings of Republican Jesus to mock the Lord here, pretending to mock Republicans. Do not give unto them aid, for their country is a expletive hole. No. Give to groups. Give to groups that support the soul in addition to the body. Give to groups that carry out the words of the Lord Jesus. One of the last things he told us, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to follow all I've commanded you. God will not be mocked. The people who are mocking him or trying to are going to find that out. We'll come back to learn about the AFA Foundation and what is it like growing up in the Wildman family. Riley Wildman joins us on The Disciples View next. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. Coming up, I think it's the, in terms of so-called secular movies, and I don't think anything is secular because God owns everything, I think it's the most important societal commentary movie on politics and civics in the last 20 years. And I'm going to play for you the most important scene from that movie that I think in about 7 words, maybe 10, describes the precipice on which we sit in American politics. I do this given the death of Donald Sutherland, who's in this movie. I'm not saying here that Donald Sutherland is someone to emulate. I'm here to say that his art explains why liberals are, why actors are liberal. We'll get to that. And also the scene I think is vital for us to understand as a nation. Riley Wildman joins me on Disciples View, part obviously of the Wildman family. Riley, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you so much for having me this evening, or this afternoon, I should say.
Well, I have to tell you, you know, when I got the phone call from Tim, and it came because of my friend Frank Turek and Sandy Rios, and I had a discussion with Tim and later Walker, I came to understand what your family has built. And I read the book, I Had a Vision, God Had a Plan, and Don Wildman's view on this. And I've not met you guys yet, so I need to repeat this. Thank you for your family even having me on here. So let me start again with that. Thank you for that.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I'm so glad you're on with us.
What is it like? What was it like being part of a media family? Because I can't relate to that. I'm the weirdo in the family. I'm the only one with a media job.
Well, to be honest with you, Todd, I'm not on very often. I'm kind of in the corner. Wesley and Walker and Tim, my dad, kind of do the leadership role at American Family Association, and I am the director of the AFA Foundation. So I handle a lot of gift annuities and donor relations, that type of thing. So.
Well, so being in the background, though, doesn't mean you weren't at the kitchen table. I mean, are you a family that discusses things, issues? And I mean, I don't want to get too personal with you, but I'm just wondering what it's like at the dinner table at family time. If you guys argue, do you discuss, do you entertain one another?
We entertain. We have a great time. We are very, Todd, a close-knit family. Wesley Walker, Tim, my mom, Allison. We're just, it's a very unique situation to honestly for all of our family to kind of grow up together. Some of us live in the same neighborhood. You know, we call it work together, fellowship together, go to church together. So, you know, we do. And when we go on vacation, we just have a great time with one another. So, Tim is, just like you hear him on today's issues, he's the same person that you see at work. He kind of tells it like it is, so to speak.
Well, I'm smiling because I'm picturing those scenes and what God has given you guys to sustain and to steward. And you have this unique role in this in the AFA Foundation. And what's the mission of the foundation?
Yeah, so the mission of the AFA Foundation is just, we are honestly, Todd, just a, so to speak, a division that makes up American Family Association, and American Family Radio is part of the AFA Foundation. But our mission is to exist for individuals and families to leave what we call a lasting legacy through different tools, so to speak. And those tools are through charitable gift annuities, trust, and wills. And as far as the charitable gift annuity, it helps AFA continue over 40 plus years to stem the tide of secularism and culture and to rebuild a Christian foundation. So that is basically AFA Foundation's mission. We are just here to be a light to others and to use what I call our tools through the charitable gift annuity, through the will, through what I call a trust, for people to leave a legacy to American Family Association when they pass away. So that way the mission of American Family Association and American Family Radio can continue on for generations to come. After Papa had just passed, Don Wildman passed back in December. Now Tim, my dad, is the president of American Family Association, and Wesley and Walker have now taken and helped the leadership to with the leadership team there. So we're just here to be a light to shine for everybody. But as far as the foundation goes, like you mentioned, I am the director of the foundation, and I could be glad to give your listeners the different tools that we have in the foundation that can help maybe your listeners to give a gift to American Family Association.
Sure. Let's talk about that in a second. And let me just you know, make this point that I think one of the in a world of podcasting, and you know, and I podcast, it's I do that 10 hours a week, well, a little more than that. But in a world of podcasting, pre-recorded content, YouTube, one of the magic things about live radio that I see, Riley, is this, that there is the ability to have accidental tune-in. And I love this so dearly because a family member can be in the car with another family member, and they can be listening to news. We just talked news. I mean, we're talking roughly about news, what's this being referred to as a Republican Jesus, but we talk economy, we talk White House, but it's always this God at the center. I love the fact that people can accidentally tune into that and go, wow, I never heard God connected to the news. And some people who've not really been associated with God's word. So the fact that you guys have been given these 180 stations to steward, in addition to the other things you do, to me, this is the magic of live radio, and it's why it's so important that this be sustained. So I'm picturing someone, let's say someone at the in the last 15 years of life, they know that they're going to go to the Lord, and they know they're going to have this reward. What are the tools that people you can provide people so they make sure that at death they get to make sure that some other person gets the incredible experience to tune in and go, oh my gosh, God's word, I didn't know that.
Yes, yes. Well, Todd, let me give your listeners just a few of them. And one of them is just a simple, they can leave American Family Association and American Family Radio in their will simply by just giving us a call and telling us that, hey, I would love to, you know, have American Family Association in their will. And then upon their passing, when they pass away, whatever that they wanted to give to American Family Association, that is one way, through just leaving us in their will. The other way is strictly what I call a charitable gift annuity. And that is just strictly a contract, Todd, between American Family Association and the individual. Separate, just a simple contract between them and American Family Association. And in return, they receive income coming back to them for the rest of their life as they're living. And then upon their death, when they pass away, anything left over is a gift back to American Family Association. So we call that a charitable gift annuity, or what they call just a CGA. It's just a simple agreement, like I said, between American Family Association and the annuitant. And when they pass away, anything left over is a gift back to the ministry. And they can receive, Todd, also like about a one-third of a tax deduction the year that they set up the charitable gift annuity. So that between that and a will, and just also I would like to also share with your listeners a stock donation. That is just simply people just, hey, they have some stock in their account and they're just trying to get rid of it and want to receive a full 100% tax deduction off of that stock, Todd. They can give me or Chelsea a call and we can provide them with our information from our account, and they can just give an outright gift of stock to American Family Association. Like I said, receive a full 100% tax donation, and then use that to further on the mission of American Family Association.
What a beautiful, beautiful opportunity. What a great role. I know you describe it as behind the scenes, but there are people who, through the economics of giving, make it possible to do this. And I'm here to tell you that the hosts at this network are well taken care of, and I know that the staff is. And I've said it before, but one of the most amazing stories about Brother Don was that he would go through the building and turn out the lights at night.
Yes,
I love that so much. I love that about you, Grandpa.
He would turn off the lights. Yes, he would turn off the lights as soon as he left every day. And then also made sure that, you know, the AC unit was, you know, moved to a certain degree so that way it wouldn't continue to run. But, yes, he would always make sure the staff and the leadership and all his employees were well taken care of.
Yeah. But by that, you're also taking care of the donors. And that was my point.
Yes,
I love
that is right. Yes.
I love the opportunity to be connected with this, and it is AFAFoundation.net, AFAFoundation.net, if you want to use the website, and of course the phone number that's been provided to you. Appreciate you coming on, Riley. Thank you for sharing this, and thank you for sharing just a little bit about family life with the Wildmans. I cannot wait to, yes. I'm down there next, I get down there
the spring,
next year.
Or, I'm sorry, in the fall for their show,
yep.
Share-a-thon. Yes, well, then I would love to meet you then.
Okay, we'll shake hands then. Thank you, Riley. Appreciate you. God
yes,
go with
sir.
You.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you.
We get opportunities on this network to do things like this. And this is news. Donald Sutherland's died. He's not someone I would say we should go emulate. But he was an actor, and he made an impact as an actor. I think actors end up being liberal because of caring and fairness. You'll hear me talk about this a lot. We need to be able to speak the language of caring and fairness. We need to be able to get into Hollywood and to understand the motivations of people in Hollywood. I contend that the movie The Hunger Games, in which Donald Sutherland played a core role as President Snow, is one of the most important films in relation to our world and our country that exists in at least the past 20 years. I'm not here to say it's a godly movie. It's not. I'm not here to say it's free from violence. It most certainly is not free from violence. But there is a core scene in this featuring Donald Sutherland as President Snow that's vital because it explains where we're at as a nation. If you're unfamiliar with the movie or it's been a while, let me set it up for you. The United States has been through a civil war. And the civil war was effectively the government, the central government against the people. They don't go through the causes of that in the movie. The book does explain it. It was a war over resources. It was a war over who would control the resources. The capital, that's DC, has been relocated to the mountains of Colorado, so it's harder to attack. It was a strategic decision. And they levy not just taxes upon the districts, this is the regions of the country, where they take the resources and are open about it. You cut down trees for us to use. You fish for us. You mine for us. You create rock and devices for us. That's what you do. We, the capital, simply protect you. And so it's this trade. That's the way they describe it. But the capital bears a striking resemblance to the capital of the United States versus the people of the United States in that there's this. Most of the districts have a pretty advanced level of poverty because the capital is keeping all the good stuff for themselves. And the districts are made to war against each other. Now think of this in terms of our nation right now. Red states, blue states. People fleeing cities like Los Angeles and states like California to go to Texas. In fact, it's happening now that people from Hollywood are fleeing California. There's a fitness influencer, Jillian Michaels. You remember the show The Biggest Loser? I don't know if you ever watched that. My wife and I watched it years ago. But I mean, I guess 21 years ago when we had a TV, last time we had a TV. So she was a woman on a show where people went to go lose fat. And supposedly get in shape, although most of them rebounded and got fatter after the show. So she is a same-sex attracted woman, a Jewish woman, and a leftist. She recently left California because she said California has lost its mind. It's no longer caring or fair. But California, in relation to the Hunger Games, bears a resemblance to the districts. This is a district at war with another district. You have the dictator of California who had passed a travel ban. You're not allowed to go to red states on government money. Likewise, you have between Idaho and Oregon. Right now, counties in Oregon have voted to secede and join the state of Idaho. From one border to another, you have this. In the state of Idaho, it's illegal to give kids wrong sex hormones and surgery. It's illegal to try to avoid that law by taking them across state lines. That's going to be challenged in the courts. Of course it will be across the border. Just one step over into Washington state. Not only can the state do that to kids, they can do that to your kids against your permission, even if you're not a resident of Washington, even if you're a resident of Idaho, even if you're a citizen of another state, they can seize your kids. So in the Hunger Games, you have the districts fighting against one another. You have the capital controlling all the resources, and then it all culminates into the Hunger Games. This is where citizens of the various districts are taken out by lottery. They're put into a game scenario where they're forced to fight one another to the death. And this is for entertainment, mostly for people in the districts. Probably for the people in the capital. The people in the capital considered entertainment. After all, it's not their kids. The people in the districts are compelled to watch because it is their kids. They're hoping their kids will be the ones who win. Their kids live. It's a striking example of art explaining life. But there's a scene in this movie I beg you to think about. I beg you to watch with your kids, knowing that this is a so-called secular movie, although God owns everything. And it features Donald Sutherland. Donald Sutherland, who's died, I don't think he went to the Lord because they don't think he knew the Lord. That's very sad. Very sad. He was a liberal because of caring and fairness, because he was paid money to make you feel things. I will give you this scene when we come back. And you tell me, do you agree that this is the most important societal scene in secular movie, well, secular movies in the last 20 years? That next on A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. We'll get to the Tower of Babbling. Donald Sutherland died. I'm not here to say he's a man to emulate. I'm here to say he was a typical Hollywood actor, although a very talented one. I believe people in Hollywood are liberal because they're paid to promote feelings. Therefore, I think that they are motivated by emotions, two in particular, caring and fairness. I just spent the last segment describing the Hunger Games movie and books. Very briefly, dystopian America has been through a civil war. The capital reigns over the districts and causes the districts to be at war with one another, taking their kids by lottery and forcing them to be in a war games where they actually end up killing one another. However, a young woman named Katniss Everdeen hacked the game. At the end, it was between she and a boy who deeply loved her named PETA, and they were supposed to kill one another. Katniss refused. She found poison berries, and like a Shakespearean play, Romeo and Juliet, they were both going to eat them. There would then be no winner in the Hunger Games. But the capital had to have a winner. They had to have hope. They couldn't allow the people to not have hope. After all, they might win. This is, to me, the most important secular movie about our nation that's been published in the last 20 years, particularly this scene. So the scene opens when Katniss arrives in her home to find President Snow, played by Donald Sutherland, waiting in her office. President Snow lays out a problem that she has caused.
Such bravery. Such spirit. Such contempt.
President Snow, what an honor.
My dear, I think we can make this so much simpler if we agree not to lie to each other. What do you think?
Yes, I think that would save time.
Sit down, please. I have a problem, Miss Everdeen. A problem that began the moment you revealed those poison berries in the arena. If that head game maker, Seneca Crane, had had any brains at all, he would have blown you to bits then and there. But here you are. I expect you can guess where he is.
Yes, I think so.
So she is sitting across from him in her own home. He's glaring at her. Donald Sutherland, a great actress. And the scene continues as President Snow now explains to Katniss what defiance could lead to.
After that fiasco, there was nothing left to do but to let you play out your little scenario. And you were very good. That whole love-crazed, besotted schoolgirl routine. Impressive, truly. You convinced the people in the capital. Unfortunately, not everyone in the districts fell for it. I mean, you can't know this, but in several of them, people viewed your little trick with the berries as an act of defiance, not as an act of love. And if a girl from District 12, of all places, can defy the capital and walk away unharmed, what is to prevent them from doing the same? What is to prevent, say, an uprising that can lead to revolution?
The warning of revolution. Now, if you're thinking about this, and you're thinking about the character of Katniss, a girl from District 13, we have in prison 72-year-old grandmas who walked into the open doors of the United States Capitol. They were there for 10 minutes and prayed. They didn't hit anybody. They didn't break anything. They're in prison. Meanwhile, we're letting people out of prison who snuck into our country, got caught, were known to be violent felons, and they're being let go. Some states sponsor this. The districts against the districts. All of this coming from the Capitol. But it's here, where I see the most important line. President Snow, played by Donald Sutherland, warns of the consequences of revolution.
And then in a fraction of time, the whole system collapses.
It must be a fragile system if it can be brought down by just a few berries.
Yes, it is indeed. But not in the way you imagine it.
How should I imagine?
You should imagine thousands upon thousands of your people dead. This town of yours reduced to ashes. Imagine it gone. Made radioactive, buried under dirt as if it had never existed, like District 13. You fought very hard in the games, Miss Everding. But they were games. Would you like to be in a real war?
No.
Good. Neither would I. Did your mother make these?
PETA.
Oh, he's a lovely boy. Tell me, at what point did he realize the depth of your indifference towards him?
I'm not indifferent.
Don't lie. You promised.
It must be a very fragile system if it can be brought down by just a few berries. Or tweets. Or protests. Or questions about election integrity. Or questions about the judicial process in New York. Or questions about safe and effective. All of which the Capitol worked to stomp out, to punish. Doctors lost their jobs, their practices, by saying, I don't think these are safe or effective. It must be a very fragile system if it can be brought down by just a few berries or articles. Hunter Biden's laptop was never Russian disinformation. It was always Hunter Biden's laptop. The Capitol made sure that the people who said the truth weren't heard, sometimes punished. The scene in the Hunger Games, this scene, begins to close when Katniss asks President Snow why he shouldn't just kill her.
Why don't you just kill me now?
I don't want to kill you. I want us to be friends. But if not friends, then allies.
What do I need to do?
When you and PETA are on tour, you need to smile. You need to be grateful. But above all, you need to be madly prepared to end it all in love. You think you can manage that?
Yes.
Yes, what?
I'll convince them.
No. Convince me. For you, Miss Everdeen.
A white rose.
Do convince me. For the sake of your loved ones.
And he shows a picture, a film, of her actual love interest at that point. It's the most important societal commentary film, I think, about government in the last 20 years, The Hunger Games. Yeah, it can be goofy. Yeah, it has teen drama, and there's too much violence. That scene, just a few berries, just a few tweets, and then the close. There are people in Washington, D.C. pretending that Joe Biden is fit of mind. there are people on TV pretending. This is about age. It's just age. It's not the fact that he's clearly mentally decrepit. There are people in Washington, D.C. pretending. Right now, we don't have troops in Syria. We have troops in Syria. There's a war going on. No one's talking about it. There are people in D.C. pretending it's all very normal that you are funding Hamas and Israel. It's all very normal. There are people in Washington, D.C. pretending it's all very, very normal to have a $1 billion fine levied against a media personality for being wrong, stupidly wrong, and cruel about Sandy Hook. They intend to seize Alex Jones' network. He was a favorite. He was on The View. He was on CNN until he did something. He came out in favor of Donald Trump. Incidentally, I don't know Alex. Until about a year ago, I wouldn't have defended Alex until I saw what the government was willing to do to him, because that means they're willing to do it to anybody. On this program, we actually thank the Lord for placing supposedly wise people like Kamala Harris or Joe Biden on tall towers of shaking sand. And we do that with our feature called The Tower Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Three sound bites that I think prove the theory of the Tower of Babbling. Soundbite number one. When he's not pulling a fire alarm to disrupt official government proceedings, a thing that put January 6 peaceful protesters in prison, Representative Jamal Bowman enjoys spewing, well, pardon me, the F word from stages.
We're going to show them who the f*** we are!
He's down by as much as 17% in the polls. Jamal Bowman, congressman. When you address congressmen in Congress, it says on their nameplate, the Honorable. It says on his letterhead, the Honorable Jamal Bowman. Wait, didn't we just talk about the Hunger Games and performance and convincing the people to be madly in love? That it's all very, very normal that a guy like Jamal Bowman is a United States congressman? Next soundbite in today's Tower Babbling. MSNBC's Simone Sanders scolds her guests and colleagues to be sensitive to the family of a 12-year-old girl who was raped and murdered by making sure they pretend the illegal immigrant suspects lost their driver's licenses.
What do you tell the parents of those people, those young girls who were killed? This is the preponderance of these people, Michael, are male.
But what is the difference between an illegal immigrant who unfortunately engages in that activity?
And we don't like that. I want to be clear. We don't use the term illegal. So yeah, undocumented individuals.
They're illegal aliens.
By the way, the voice of the gentleman from the Heritage Foundation, this overrun there, he says, that's sweet. They're illegal immigrants. They didn't lose their documents. They're not undocumented immigrants. They're illegal immigrants. And in each of these cases, they were caught and released. Wait a minute. Didn't we just talk about the Capitol and the Hunger Games? And the districts being set to war against one another? And the fact that in the movie, hey, if you're with the Capitol, you can do anything you want, like capture teenagers and make them fight each other to the death. But if you're in the districts and you challenge the Capitol, you could bring the whole system down with just a few berries. Last up in today's Tower Babbling, this is a book aimed, well, and I want to warn people, there's no bad language here, but adults are going to get this in ways that kids won't. If there's kids listening, please be, you know your kids. You know what to do here. This book is aimed at five-year-old kids.
My parents are swingers, just like me. And tonight they're planning a swinger party. It starts with a contract and a bowl full of keys. Everyone looking for unicorns. Yes, please. They watch a few movies, give balloons to the boys. Everyone sleeps over and makes lots of noise. Every night I pray to have a swinger party for my birthday.
Aimed at five-year-olds. The effort to sexualize children is about as ungodly as it gets, and it's simply a return. The same demons that led to these abuses in biblical times are simply back to doing the same thing here. We have the advantage we did then, we do now with Jesus. And also this, you heard that because of AFR. Your monthly support allows us to make sure other people hear what the enemy is trying to do to children and gives us the opportunity to pray together that they would be protected. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On A Disciple's View.
In my continuing effort to get ready for SEALFIT, which seemed so far away when I signed up for it, and now seems so close, this is the tiny little vision or version of Hell Week I'm going to go through, put myself through in California at the end of September. In my continuing effort to do that, I did a benchmark test this weekend. It's a version of the iconic CrossFit workout called Murph, or the Murph. It's this. You run a mile, and then you do 100 pull-ups, and then 200 push-ups, and then 300 air squats, and then you run a mile. The change here was this. I had to wear effectively combat boots, although a newer, better version of them, easier to run in. And I had to wear utility pants, thick, unforgiving pants that are heavy and that store all sorts of heat, a full shirt, and a 30-pound weight vest. Now, to do this is one thing. To do it vested like this is another. To do it then on an air runner, which to me is better at approximating sand because running on the street is easier, and I don't have sand to run in next to the gym. I did this not in the time I wanted. It took me just a little over an hour, and I was absolutely tapped at the end, soaked, exhausted. In fact, I would go home and sleep for 2 hours. But when I got done and was cleaning up, my dear friend's little boy, Benson, was there. And so I just said to Benson, "There's no dinosaurs here, are there?" He loves to chase me as a dinosaur, and he did. And for about 10 minutes, I forgot I was physically dead because of the face of joy, a child. Remember, the Lord Jesus said we need to be like little children in relation to Him. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. Until God decides you and I can speak words again to one another, may His peace that transcends all understanding rest upon you and your families. On behalf of Randy and AFR, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.